Polemics, as with apologetics and evangelism, is something that we're just called to do. It's not relegated to just those apologists out there or the professors in the seminaries. We're all supposed to be involved, be prepared to do these things. And as we have heard, apologetics defends biblical truth and speaks of the veracity of the truth, right, that we defend, whereas polemics argues against a non-Christian religion dealing with this context of outsiders, right? It speaks against non-Christian religion, any non-Christian religions, and speaks against the false doctrines which oppose the truth that we tenaciously hold to. Broadly speaking, both apologetics and polemics are essentially an analysis or a critique on an opposing position. And in light of that, within the context of Christianity, both apologetics and polemics functions widely to eradicate bad philosophy, in untrue philosophy or theology, anything against the Christian worldview. So I would say, just like faith and repentance, polemics and apologetics are twin sisters. You can't separate the two. You shouldn't separate the two. They're literally twin sisters, and it's taught that way in the scriptures. And in another sense, polemics can refer to the act of challenging, right? Challenging or refuting a theological error within the same, as I mentioned, the same belief system. Or, as we're speaking today, it refers to the challenging and refuting the theological errors of Muslims and other Unitarian and false, as I call, atheistic religions. Whereas apologetics defends the Christian faith against heretics. All right, as with apologetics, the biblical examples of polemics are vast. There's many examples, both in the Old and New Testament. And we always want to stay, as I mentioned in every talk, every message I have given, we always want to stay biblical. We don't want to stay philosophical, we want to stay biblical. In our theology and the way we see God, we want to see God objectively. We want to learn about God objectively, and we want to be under the mandate of Peter's instructions through the Holy Spirit to grow, increase in the grace and knowledge of God, the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? And the only way to infallibly grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is through the biblical text. There's no other way that's safe. It's not safe to grow in any other way in the knowledge of God. It's not safe to rely on voices. It's not safe to rely on having your feelings the arc of truth. Because many times we feel things that are contrary to the Bible, like practicing polemics. It doesn't feel loving for most folks. They don't want to do it. And they'll see you as very unloving because it doesn't feel right to them. They're judging the Bible by the arc of their feeling. We don't want to be in that category. There's many things that Christianity, biblical Christianity, teaches that don't really feel great or don't sound great. And all of us, we have the tendency to have a pet theology that we don't want to get rid of. Even though someone can show us the truth, we like maintaining a pet theology. It's sort of like a pet translation. You know, it's our warm leather-bound thing that we never want to get rid of because it's all highlighted. If we ever got rid of that, we're lost, you know. We don't want to have pet theologies that are unbiblical. If someone approaches us with a critique, a polemic, and you have a bad theology, love truth so much that you're going to investigate it. Love truth that much that you will painfully investigate it. And even if it just denies everything you feel, you've got to submit to the scripture to be sure. I'd like to give some biblical example of biblical apologetics, and I'm only going to actually do a couple verses. As with apologetics, we have biblical examples, as mentioned, both in the Old and New Testament. I found a very interesting passage, or set of passages, is in 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I think this is one of many, one of the clearest passages that affirm our duty, our Christian duty, to be polemicists. I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Verse 5. We are destroying speculations. So it's present tense. He's expecting Christians to be doing this. We destroy speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, Paul speaks of weapons of Christian warfare also in Ephesians 6. And in Ephesians 6, they're defense weapons except one. But it's interesting, in Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the what? Full armor, right? Interesting, the word put on, very interesting word in the Greek, and duo, which in linguistically, as it's shown in the Gospels, it gives the vision of putting on a garment, of sinking into the armor of God, putting it on. The main point here is the tense. I mentioned this before in another verse. It's in the aorist imperative, the strongest way to command something. God's commanding you with urgency. It's a do-it-now verb, as Wallace points out. It's the strongest way in the Greek language to command something that has to be done right now. Put on that armor. I don't know what you did yesterday. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow. Do this right now. Right now, sink into it. And duo. Sink into it right now. Urgency. The full armor of God. In order that you'll be able, and here's why, stand against the methodeia, or the methods of the devil. Yeah, he has methods against you. Remember what Peter said. Peter said the devil does what? What an interesting path. In 1 Peter 5, first when he says, humble yourself, right? And this is one of the places that I found, I mean, how off track do we get here? But this is one of the places I found where it tells us how to humble ourselves before God. It says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due time he'll exalt you. Right? The next word is not a new sentence. Unfortunately, the NIV makes it two sentences, but it's not in Greek. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. How? Casting. It's a participle of means. The means of humbling yourself before God is casting all your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. Right? That's how we humble ourselves, by getting rid of self-government, self-reliance, and casting all our worries. You know what the word worry or anxiety in Greek, it denotes being pulled from two directions. And God said, cast it on me. Casting, that's how you humble yourself before the Lord. But what does he say after? The devil, to be alert, because the devil, your enemy, is a roaring lion. And what does he do? Zeton. It's very interesting. Zeton, it's a participle. He's always seeking. Peter wrote to Christians saying the devil is, humble yourself because the devil is always seeking, Zeton, seeking someone to devour. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, Paul expects the Christian to identify the battlegrounds. In verse 3, he says, we don't war according to the flesh. Next, Paul informs all the Christians as to the spiritual weapons. Look at verse 4. For our weapons are not, our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortress. And in verse 5, here's where he expects the Christian to be involved in biblical polemics. It's a necessity. We are destroying speculations. Every lofty thing, that's what he is expecting the Christians to do, destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. In obedience, we provide polemics. In fact, note the beginning phrase in verse 5. We're destroying speculations. These very interesting, the words here, lakismus, literally means reasoning or thinking. We're destroying the reasoning and thinking. And the other word, katairuntos, listen to this. It's a participle, and it means to yank down or to pull down. So keeping to this text, linguistically, we're called to forcibly yank down anything against God. That's what the word linguistically means, to yank down. Talk about putting a laser light on polemics. We are called to keep doing this, to pulling down, destroying, overthrowing all opposing arguments to the faith. Paul is expecting Christians to do so. And we're supposed to always keep destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Thus, polemics and confronting falsehood is a vital part of your Christian life, because we have the true gospel. We have God, the Holy Spirit, who empowers us. Again, every letter that Paul wrote was some kind of polemic and refutation to false teachings. So in that sense, we have a lot of work to do for the kingdom of God. In obedience to the Lord, we're called to be a polemicist, because it's for our edification. It's not to play around with. It's for our edification. Because if we love the object of polemics, we're going to provide destroying speculations against the knowledge of God. Confronting error is our job. Confronting it, dealing with it, turning it upside down, and having a proclamation of the gospel is our job. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of the Son. Never be afraid to communicate there's one God in three persons, and Jesus Christ is the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He's the Yahweh of Joel 2:32. Don't be afraid. And we have to provide apologetics and polemics. And we have to provide the crosswork in our presentation, the crosswork of Christ, his incarnation, and his vicarious substitutionary life and death on our behalf. And with that, let us close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the Apostle Paul giving us this information and conveying to us through you our duty to provide apologetics, polemics, evangelism, accurate theology. We walk in the flesh, but we don't walk according to the flesh, because our weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're divinely powerful for the pulling or destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations. We're yanking them down, pulling them down, and we're destroying every lofty thing raised against you, Lord, because we're called to do this, and we're taking every thought, opposing view, captive. But we do this in obedience to Christ, because we're truth lovers. Let us be strong in this area, Lord God, and give us that desire to be accurate and to submit to Scripture, even in the places we don't like. In the name of Christ the Lord Jesus, our God and Savior, amen.